Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. So what we're doing for today is we're going to run back. We've got 2 days worth of media availability from the Houston Rockets to discuss. Day one being Eric Gordon, Daniel House Jr., and Gerald Green, the mayor himself, of course, as well as the second day of availability, which was DeMarcus Cousins speaking to the media for the first time since joining the Rockets, as well as Steven Silas, the second time that he's spoken to media directly since his introductory press conference. So that not counting his appearance on First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. So we'll run back that audio. I'm going to run back a little bit from Daniel House and Gerald Green. I'm not going to run anything from Eric Gordon. I'll bring up a couple of the points that he made, but I'm not going to run back any of his audio. So we'll do that in segment one. Segment two, we're going to run back the audio, a little bit of audio from DeMarcus Cousins and then Steven Silas. And then segment three, we'll talk about it. I'll hit on some of the points that each of the guys made. And so we'll do that. We're just going to kind of run it back. It's a little cramped in this episode because originally we were going to talk about the Media Day stuff in yesterday's episode, but then John Wall got traded to Houston and Russell Westbrook packed his bags. So that was obviously much more important to talk about. So we've got 2 days of media interviews crammed into one episode. I'm going to pick and choose the best parts that I want to talk about and highlight from the 2 days that we have so far. So let's go ahead and just dive straight in with Daniel House.
First of all, I'd like to start off by apologizing to my team and the organization and the owner for the mishap that happened in the bubble. I'm focused. It's behind me. It's in the past. New year, new season. Learning. And we're looking forward to growing and expanding. I'd like to deeply apologize to the fans. Also, if you felt I let you down, sincere apologies from me, Daniel House Jr., to everyone.
We'll open for questions. Jonathan Fagan.
Hi, Daniel. You sort of addressed this, but going back to the bubble, you talked about needing to prove yourself, wanting that opportunity to prove yourself. Do you feel that? Are you starting over in terms of proving yourself?
No, I feel like I'm still carrying on. Even though I wasn't able to participate, as soon as I got home, I was in the gym. And then as soon as coaches and Lucas got home, I got back in the gym and did some conditioning and stuff like that to stay in shape. So right now I feel like it's a momentum builder. I mean, you live and learn. You take the bad and you just flip it to good and make the energy work for you.
Thank you.
Saman Ali.
Daniel, there's a good chance you'll have a more significant role with the team this year as compared to the past two seasons. Whether that's starting or coming off the bench, do you feel you're ready for that increased workload?
Yeah, I feel like I am. I mean, the coaching staff is doing a great job of prepping me for it. So shout out to John Lucas that's been prepping me for it too, and his staff, the player development staff that's been prepping me for the role in case I do start or come off the bench. So.
Jackson Gatman.
Hey, Daniel. What are you looking forward to most about playing under head coach Steven Silas?
I'm learning just the growth, like the knowledge, the pace, the energy, but not only that, the love for the game. I mean, he's so passionate about it, so that's already a huge leap. So I just can't wait to see what he got in store for us.
Jonathan Fagan. Jason Bristol.
I know you just offered an apology, but do you feel that you'll need to address the team when everybody gets together again?
I already talked to the team.
Ali Kampajani.
Hey, Daniel. Just to follow up to some of the other questions you've had, have you spoken with Coach Salas about your role this season? And what do you expect from yourself in that role?
I haven't really talked to him yet about my role. So I'm still kind of just letting things go. Since it's a new year, I'm not gonna rush it. Just let everything just flow naturally. And of course, once everything starts up, he'll assess me and tell me what I need to do, and go from there.
And that'll do it for Daniel House Jr. So next, we've got our very own Mayor of Houston, Gerald Green, and what he had to say to the media.
Jackson Gatlin.
Hey, Gerald. Hope the rehab's gone well. Sounds like it's gone well. But could you share with us your thoughts on how the NBA used its platform to spread the Black Lives Matter message inside the bubble, especially in connection to John Lucas, who was one of the most powerful voices in the bubble when everything was going on?
Phenomenal. I mean, the NBA couldn't have done a better job of really you know, being behind that Black Lives Matter, you know, that was something that, from the outside looking in, because I wasn't playing, I was very proud to say that I'm an NBA player for the way that we, you know, we march. Is pretty much those guys, most of those guys was marching. I know I marched in Houston. Before the bubble came, a lot of guys were really out there protesting. You know, we wanted to see a change, you know, and you know, a lot of guys, I mean, shout out to the Milwaukee Bucks, and I forgot the other team, for not playing, not wanting to play. I mean, that was huge. And so, you know, little things like that, to me, is I'm glad the NBA, you know, stood behind all of us and our word and what we wanted to say. So, you know, I was very proud of what the NBA and my fellow brothers did, you know, backing up the Black Lives Matter movement.
Adam Spolin.
I want to kind of circle back to what Brian asked. Is it tough to see someone that you're very close with and Daniel go through what he had to go through at the end of the bubble?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, you know, any time that, you know, you're in a, you know, situation where you're in the playoffs and, you know, you're not able to play for something that's, you know, that wasn't, you know, related to basketball, it's tough. It's any situation. It's tough. So, but, you know, that's what makes the great ones. You know, when they go through situations that's, you know, unfortunate, they always come out and be great. And I think that's what D-House is going to do. You know, I think that was a tough situation. You know, not only for him, but for the organization. But I think that he's done a great job of busting his tail this summer and off season. I've been working out with him. He looks great, and I think everybody's ready to put that past him, because it doesn't really matter anymore. He's irrelevant, and we're ready to just start for next season to get it going. I really think that D-House is going to have a hell of a season.
We'll take two more. Kaylee Griffin.
Hey, Gerald, your love for the city of Houston is obviously unparalleled. How does this opportunity with the Rockets, coming off the injury and, of course, the year that's been with the season and been put on pause, restarting, compare to the opportunities that you've had in the past?
I mean, this one is by far one of the most pleasant ones because of, you know, Rockets didn't have to give me another opportunity, you know, and so I'm very thankful to have this. And coming off an injury, especially an injury that I had, a Lisfranc fracture, who was one of the worst, you know, foot fractures you can have, you know, for the Rockets to sit here and give me another chance to prove myself again, I'm just thankful, and I'm ready to show these guys that they did not make a mistake, and I'm ready to show the world that I'm back.
And last one, Dave Hardesty.
Gerald, a lot of fans in the city of Houston absolutely loves you and how you represent the city, and there's definitely a connection there. And when you got traded, there was kind of, you know, a lot of people upset. How important was it for you to come back here? This is your third stint on the Rockets and to be playing here again for your city?
Well, I mean, when things, you know, everything, basketball is a business. So, you know, once I got traded, I understand, you know, everything's a business. But, you know, my heart and soul is in Houston. I mean, I got so many tattoos of Houston, it's not even funny. And I mean, it's just, you know, one of these things that, you know, it makes it easier for me to get up out of the bed and go to work, because I understand that, you know, I'm not only working for, you know, the name on the back of my jersey, you know, I'm working for the name on the front of our jersey because, I mean, I just want to be able to do whatever I can to make sure that this city blossoms and this city does whatever we need to do. So if I'm representing, anytime I get to represent Houston Rockets, Gerald Green's going to give 150%. That's for damn sure.
And that does it for the hometown hero, Gerald Green. So coming up in just a second, we will hear from DeMarcus Cousins and head coach Steven Silas after a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Look, whether it's a mental or a physical wall, you can break through it with Built Go every single day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's basically 5-hour energy without that same really atrocious crashing feeling that you get. Plus, it's natural, so it's way better for your body. It kind of like, think of it like drinking a Monster, but with a just a third of the caffeine and significantly better results. They come in three delicious flavors, chocolate coconut, chocolate mint, and then my personal favorite, the peanut butter honey. Can't go wrong with it. They come in these little 1.5-ounce containers. You can either put it in your briefcase, take it with you to work, just toss it in your pocket to carry with you throughout the day. Whenever you need a hit of energy, bam, you're good to go. Throw it in your gym bag, take it with you to the gym. However you want to utilize it, you can do it to help power you through your day. And you can check it out. Just visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to check back in daily. Again, we are Monday through Friday again now that the season is right around the corner. We will have all the player and coaching staff interviews posted here. As soon as they're out, we'll discuss them, we'll break them down, kind of try to infer what we can from what we've heard from the players and the coaching staff like we're doing today. In fact, I'm considering, depending on who we see and speak to on Friday, I'm thinking about doing a Saturday pod. So be on the lookout for that. We might do an extra podcast this week just so that we can, you know, tackle that information as soon as it comes out rather than waiting to talk about it next week. So be on the lookout for that moving forward. But let's go ahead and keep this ball rolling. We're going to run back DeMarcus Cousins, and then we'll do Steven Silas right after that.
Man, I feel incredible. You know, being away from the game as long as I've been this past year and some change, obviously it was a tough task mentally, physically, but at the same time I was able to rest my body, and it was much needed rest. But, coming back off of that, I feel incredible. My body's in a great place. My mind is in a great place, and I'm just ready to get back on the floor and play basketball, play the game that I love.
Jonathan Fagan.
Hello, DeMarcus. Welcome.
Thank you.
We always hear ACL, the only rehab that's tougher than ACL is Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
What have these past 2 years, what have you gone through to get back to where you are?
Hell and back. But, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you the task was tough, but, I think I'm built for it. I took it with a stride, and, I just fought through. I willed my way through, and I learned a lot about myself and just life in general. So even though it was a tough time in my life, I'm grateful for it. I think I've grown in a lot of areas of my life. And everybody's story is different. This just so happens to be mine. So I'm gonna roll with the punches.
Just to follow up, you said you learned a lot. What did you learn?
I learned a lot about myself. I feel like I went through a situation that a lot of people would have probably gave up or quit. And I just took it as, this is my life lesson. And it's just preparing me for whatever's next. Life is full of adversity, and every battle that you go through prepares you for the next one. So that's how I approached it. And also, I want to inspire the next. I'm not the only person that's going through hard times or that have gone through hard times. So, and I'm not saying I went through the worst situation, but just when those times come, just fight through it. And like I said, roll with the punches.
Thank you.
Mark Berman.
DeMarcus, how special it is to be reunited with John Wall?
Man, it's an incredible feeling. This is something me and him have planned and dreamed about for a long time. So I'm pretty sure he's just as grateful for this moment as I am. We're super excited. There's obviously a chemistry between me and him from our college days. I mean, not only were we teammates in college, we've been knowing each other since we were 14 years old. So that's a guy I consider one of my better friends in the NBA. He was actually one of the groomsmen in my wedding. So, you know, that's a brother for life. So I'm extremely excited to be on the floor with.
What does he bring the Rockets on the floor?
Oh, I mean, I believe his game speaks for himself. He's an incredible talent. That's a given. I think the combination of him and James, that's tough for any team to match up with, pushing at the pace that they play with, the force that they play with, their playmaking abilities. They're going to make the game easier for everybody around them, and our job is to come out there and make the game easier for them.
Tim McMahon.
DeMarcus, what do you envision your role being with the Rockets?
Whatever's needed. It's a lot of different things I can do on the floor. But my personal opinion, I just want to come out and, like I said, make the game easier for James, make the game easier for John, and the other guys on the floor. Those guys are creating. I know I also had the ability to create and get guys easier shots. So I think the combination of both will mesh well.
And you've obviously played with Anthony Davis in New Orleans. I'm not trying to compare Christian Wood, but just as another kind of multi-skilled big guy. Mm-hmm. Do you see you and Wood as guys that can play together?
Absolutely. I was just speaking with C. Wood about that today. I think he has a lot of the same intangibles as Anthony Davis. I think he has the intangibles to be first team all defense. That's something I was preaching to him earlier in the locker room. I want to plant that seed early for him. I think his mindset should be, I want to be the defensive anchor on the floor every night. And I definitely think he has the ability to do that.
That does it for Boogie Cousins. So right now we're going to jump straight into new head coach Steven Silas and what he had to say to the media.
Have you or the organization heard from James Harden since the Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade last night? And the follow-up to that is, whether you have or haven't, what is your understanding of where things stand with James Harden and the Rockets right now?
Well, I haven't spoken to him since the trade. And to be honest with you, in situations like this, so I've been, this is whatever, 22nd year in the NBA, and when stuff like this kind of happens, where there's a little indecision and stuff going on, I kind of take a step back and allow guys some space. So from my perspective, my communication has been, I'm giving you space. And that's kind of where it's been as far as my communication with him. And, you know, guys like that need that. They need to figure it out, and they need to, they don't need someone banging on them all the time to kind of figure out where they're at and whatnot. So as far as the organization, I'm not sure. I can only speak for myself, but you know, I'm looking forward to him coming, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the team looks like with everybody on the floor. These individual workouts are great, but I'm looking forward to the whole group being on the floor together.
Kelly
Gico. Hey, Coach, just with everything going on with the season coming up so quickly, how important is it going to be for you and your staff to kind of come together and get the plans going for next season?
Oh, it's super important. We've been doing it for a couple of weeks. We've been having meetings and getting organized. And since I got the job, you know, the next day I was writing stuff on my board as far as making sure we're organized on offense, defense, making sure the staff is organized, making sure I'm communicating with the players, making sure that I'm tied in with every aspect of the job that I am. So it's very important for, it's a short window, as you've alluded to, and we're going to have to speed up this process a little bit, but we don't have to rush too much, because I'm looking at this as from the 6th on Sunday till the 22nd. I'm not really thinking about it as the 6th to the first preseason game and then a day off and then the next preseason game. The whole period prior to our first game is going to be our preparation for the season. So we're not going to rush through anything. We're going to make sure we get everything in that we need to get in. But it's going to be done in a smart way, in a thoughtful way, and me and my staff have been working to do that.
Jordan Jonathan Fagan.
Your team looks very different than the last time we spoke.
Yeah.
How much of that stuff you put on the board did you have to erase? And more specifically, how do Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, John Wall fit in what you want to do and with this roster now?
They fit very well. They fit a lot. Most of the stuff that I wrote on my board stayed up there because they really fit into the way that I wanted to play. I wanted to have multiple ways to play, and those guys allow me to do so. To have John Wall pushing the ball up the floor and either passing ahead to a running wing or keeping it and getting the ball into the paint and making all the great passes that he's made over his career, that is accentuated by playing the way that I want to play, five out with space and allowing guys to get into the paint and do their thing. To have Christian Wood trail the play and be able to roll and pop and play in a very similar way that I had Porzingis playing when I was offensive coordinator in Dallas, I see that as a positive and another kind of way and an option for us to play. And then to have Cuz out there as another, you know, we're not necessarily going to be in small ball quite as much. We can play big ball, and he can be out there and showing all of the gifts that he has. I mean, he looks really good on the basketball floor doing his individual workouts right now, and he's working hard to get back, and it's fun to be around. So the optionality that I talked about in the initial press conference is accentuated by having those three new guys to join the team.
Thank you.
Tim McMahon.
Hey, Stephen. What do you know at this point about John Wall's health, and you know, how do you think you're going to have to manage him in terms of availability coming back off of obviously a serious injury?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know much about his health. I know the guys upstairs have been communicating, and I know our performance team, which is one of the best in the league, they'll manage that and kind of give me the info. So I'm just kind of waiting on the info, and we'll proceed with caution, obviously. But if he's able to do things that fit into the way we're going to play and the way that we're scheduling things, we're all in. So it really is dependent on the performance team and the evaluation that they have. So they can give it to me, and then I'll proceed forward with whatever we're going to do.
Mark Berman.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Good, Mark, how are you?
Good. You touched on it a little when you found out the news that you were officially getting a John Wall. How much did it change your thinking immediately and the possibilities that go with that?
Well, it changed it in a couple ways. So, obviously, if it weren't for Russell Westbrook, I probably wouldn't have this job. So the fact that he vouched for me in the interview process was one of the first things that I thought of when the trade was made. The second part of it is how dynamic John Wall has been in his career and some of the nightmares that I've had trying to defend him and pick and roll, and all of the pick and roll passes that he's able to make. You know, when I was in Charlotte, we were in the same division, so we saw him four times a year. And really, it's just with his size and speed and passing ability and ability to get to the rim, and he can make a shot. There's so many things you can do, especially now that the game has changed. So I was in Charlotte, you know, 8 years, and he was there basically the whole time, and the game has changed so much in a good way for him because we're playing with so much more space. So very excited to have him on the team, and then defensively he can get after it. He can switch. He has size. He has physicality. So I'm definitely very excited that he's going to be a part of what we're doing here moving forward.
And that wraps up all of our audio segments. So now, coming up in just a second, in segment three, I'm going to hit on some of the main points that these guys made, kind of, you know, ping pong around a little bit, but we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Be sure to check out our NBA preview shows that we're going to be airing out, rolling them out a little bit later this month. It kind of gives you the up-to-date details on the opposing teams, what all has been going on around the league. Definitely don't want to miss that, so subscribe to Locked On NBA today if you're not already subscribed. So let's just dial it back. We'll just go in order. So starting with Daniel House, first of all, I just think it was very big of Daniel House to come out immediately and address what was, you know, the burning question on everybody's mind, to sit down and immediately just apologize, you know, own up to what happened. And he still got hit with some more questions after that, even after apologizing right from the get-go. But D House, look, I wasn't a fan of the idea of trying to move on from him. I liked the idea of potentially using him as a sweetener in a trade if necessary to upgrade the roster, because he is on a very team-friendly contract, and he's a great wing to have. He is a great 3-and-D wing. I think we can safely call him that. He is very solid. He's a plus defender, and he really took a step last year, and hopefully he can take another step this year, and he kind of fits that youth movement. He fits the timeline of this new, younger Houston Rockets team, with all the young bodies that they've got in there, and I hope that he gets to be a part of the organization for years to come. So, you know, some insight there. Just, you know, again, that's a tough situation to come back from, but it sounds like he's kind of buried the hatchet where he needs to, and hopefully he's able to take that next step and take on a bigger role this year, you know, potentially more of an offensive load to shoulder this year. And I kind of expect him to be the starter. I think that's just, you know, if Eric Gordon's rolled out as the starting three, I will be shocked. And I think maybe DeMarcus Cousins situationally as a starting five, but I think he'll be the de facto fifth starter in the Rockets lineup. Now, Gerald Green, had to throw him in there. Just, God, I love that guy. He is such a candid interview. He's so energetic and infectious, and you can just tell he's got a lot of love for the city of Houston. So being able to hear from him again, having, you know, seeing him, this marks 2 years in a row. It's really great. You know, media day at the start of last season and this year, being able to ask Gerald Green a question, and he always gives such honest responses. You know, you can just tell he is such a genuine, down-to-earth dude. There's some guys in the NBA, they'll answer a question and you just kind of shrug because you're like, yeah, that was pretty much a non-answer. But again, Gerald is a guy, he'll tell you what he's feeling, he'll tell you what's on his mind 100%. You know, almost unfiltered, which is great. So, you know, it's great to have him back. He'll be an amazing presence to have in the locker room. And again, he'll be a presence on the court. You know, having him out there, you know, having that microwave capability of his off the bench where you can insert him and he can potentially win you a game if he's, you know, on a hot shooting streak that night. You know, great. Similar to Benny Mac and threes, how Ben McLemore can, you know, go out and single-handedly almost win you a game or win you a quarter if he checks in and he's just really feeling it and starts, you know, draining threes left and right. Gerald Green is very much capable of that same style of play. And I think that might have been something that the Rockets were missing a little bit of last year. Just that ability to kind of rotate through the bench, and it's like, oh, okay, you're off a little bit tonight. Let's go to the next guy in the lineup, right? Let's plug in the next guy and see what we can maybe get out of him to just have a random contributor on any given night step up and you know, deliver us a W. So great to hear from those guys. Now the two guys that I really want to discuss and kind of pick apart some of what they said, obviously DeMarcus Cousins and head coach Steven Silas. So starting with DeMarcus, man, he gives a really candid interview, similar to Gerald Green, just, you know, very, very strong interview, you know, really impressed with some of his answers. And the two things that really stood out to me, two little things. One, that he had been speaking to John Wall, specifically his quote talking about, you know, and I don't think I included it in the cut, unfortunately, but he had a quote specifically saying that he and John Wall had been talking about teaming up well before, quote unquote, you guys heard about it, which stands out because that means that DeMarcus and John were discussing being teammates. And so that kind of shines a little bit of light on the fact that, you know, a Russell Westbrook for John Wall trade has been in the works, and it kind of times out with some of the reports that we heard on the situation. And it makes a lot of sense. Look, you know, James Harden and John Wall were practicing together down in Miami. They get to talking. John Wall gets to talking with Boogie Cousins. They decide that Houston might be the spot to link up at. Rockets start discussing a trade for Russell Westbrook for John Wall. Comes to fruition, and now everybody's happy. Everybody's teamed up. John and DeMarcus get to reunite finally in the NBA, which is something that they've wanted to do for a long, long time. You know, there used to be, felt like every summer, there used to be rumors about the Wizards trying to acquire DeMarcus or the Kings trying to trade for John Wall. And now they've reunited in Houston, which is the wildest timeline. 2020 continues to impress. But if it's something that James was on board with, then it's just another situation where the Rockets absolutely have to do their best to, again, straddle the fence and A, try to keep James Harden happy. That's priority number one. But not so much keep him happy that they're hamstringing the future of the organization. And in that regard, Rafael Stone has done a phenomenal job. Because every trade, every acquisition, every move that's been made so far seems like it's a double move. It's a move that not only increases their chances to win now, in the here and now, this season, to try and convince James Harden to stay, but it also leverages them and puts them in a better position for, you know, if the inevitable, you know, event eventually happens where they have to move on from James Harden, which is undeniably going to be next summer. If they have a disappointing year, if they have a disappointing postseason, then moving on from James Harden is inevitable and will probably take place next summer. But I really don't see a position where they are so bad by the trade deadline that they decide to unload James Harden then, because there still probably won't be a suitable trade offer on the table, a trade offer that matches the caliber of what Rafael Stone will be looking for. So I'm not super worried about that. I do think, again, the moves that Stone has made so far make a lot of sense on both fronts, and that's why I'm so impressed with him and what he's accomplished as the Rockets' new general manager. Talking about the fit, you know, DeMarcus kind of talks about the fit, what he can bring to the team, and I think that he, you know, really views himself as being a big part, another versatile player, right? Somebody that can provide some of that optionality, which is a word that Steven Silas continually uses, which I love, because one thing that we dealt with for so long with Mike D'Antoni was a very rigid system. They played one style of basketball. It was very, there was very little adjustment, very little movement. You know, it was a lot of ISO ball. And just hearing the word versatility, hearing, you know, optionality, hearing playing different ways, hearing Steven Silas talking about having guys in DeMarcus and Christian Wood who can both play on the perimeter, who can play in the post, who can each anchor their own lineups, it's phenomenal. The Rockets are going to have so many dimensions to their team this year that, you know, again, hearing it finally from the players and from the coach himself, hearing them talk about versatility, optionality, all the different ways that they're going to play, that instills, that brings a lot of confidence in what this ball club is going to be able to accomplish this season. As long as you've got a bought-in James Harden who says, you know what, I'm going to give it my best effort one more time, one last rodeo, you know, for the Houston Rockets, then I think they're going to have a strong year. And this isn't me trying to delude myself into thinking they're going to have a strong season. On paper, this team is very talented. This team is versatile. They've got a lot of complementary parts. And I will walk it back and I will say that because of the question marks around John Wall's health, I think that the ceiling is still is now a little bit lowered as to what they could have potentially accomplished with Russell Westbrook had he stayed and had he bought in to this new system under Steven Silas and alongside all these new options and Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins, everything going on. I think the ceiling might be a little bit lower because John Wall is not your, you know, he's not your 30, 10, and 10 guy. He's not going to give you that. What he's going to give you, though, is a higher IQ basketball player. He's going to give you a more consistent player. So you raise the floor up a little bit with John Wall. You give him a complimentary backcourt partner to James Harden, who is a better defender than Russell Westbrook, who is actually capable of running a more traditional style offense. Because with Russ, you know, it was like having, again, it was like having two guys who are the point of attack, who are the spear, the tip of the spear in an offensive system. And it was very much your turn, my turn with James Harden and Russ. You didn't have a traditional style point guard like the Rockets did for 2 years with Chris Paul. So now you're going back to another version of that where We're probably going to see Wall actually orchestrating some offensive sets here and there. The half-court game with Wall is not just going to be more of the same isolation, attack the defense, kick out for an open shot like Russ was doing. We're going to see some actual plays drawn up. There's going to be a lot more pick and roll between John Wall and Christian Wood, DeMarcus Cousins. There's going to be more pick and roll between James Harden and Christian Wood and DeMarcus Cousins. The offense is going to look a lot more involved than it did the back half of the last season, where once ISO ball was fully formed, there was very little pick and roll action because they had no vertical lob threat. They had no rim running threat. There was a little bit of pick and pop action, but that doesn't serve the same purpose when you don't have the dual threat of a rim running big as well as somebody who can pop out. And DeMarcus Cousins and Christian Wood are capable of both of those elements of play. And both of those guys, DeMarcus maybe a little bit more than Christian Wood, are capable of being playmaking bigs as well, especially DeMarcus. DeMarcus has shown that in his career. Christian Wood hasn't shown that quite just yet, but I think he's got the capability of being a good playmaking big in this system, especially because he's still young enough and still raw enough that he can be molded, he can be taught things that he maybe hadn't learned yet or hadn't developed yet throughout his NBA career to this point. So, you know, and again, circling back to Cousins, the fact that he's already kind of taking a mentorship role with Christian Wood, the fact that he's been talking to him about, you know, potentially being an all-NBA style defender, that he's got those quote-unquote intangibles, that he's got the same ability as Anthony Davis, Christian Wood absolutely could turn into that. Will he? I don't know. You know, maybe Will Weaver is an absolute defensive savant and he'll mold Christian Wood into, maybe a poor man's Anthony Davis, or maybe, again, a similar player to Anthony Davis. And even hearing from an offensive standpoint, hearing Steven Silas make the comparison in his media availability, he made the comparison to Kristaps Porzingis from the Dallas Mavericks. So these are comparisons, these are speculative takes that we've had on this very podcast that we've discussed in detail, and to hear it come from within the organization, to finally hear it from the horse's mouth itself, it's phenomenal to have that refreshing idea where it's like, we can speculate all the live long day. We can say, oh, well, this makes sense because of XYZ, or, you know, they should really attempt this, or this fit's going to work because look at what happened in Dallas. We can say that all we want, but until we hear that backed up from the coach and from the players themselves, it means nothing. And that's what we finally got. We got some candid interviews. We got some solid answers about everything going on. And the biggest question is still, is James Harden committed, right? I fully believe that James Harden is committed, that he's showing up for training camp on Sunday, and that he's going to give it, he's going to give it his best shot. Because what else is he going to do? Is he going to show up and mope around and be upset that he didn't get traded to Brooklyn? No. I'm still of the opinion that James Harden just wants to win a title. Kevin O'Connor had a phenomenal piece in The Ringer discussing the fact that, you know, many people within the Rockets organization believe that James Harden doesn't necessarily want to be traded, but that he just wants to win a title, and that he saw Houston trending in the wrong direction, and that he didn't believe that potentially a title was still possible here in Houston with limited assets, with limited roster flexibility, with limited talent on the roster. And again, looking at this team, I still believe that this is a more well-rounded team than we've seen for the last two seasons. I will, like I said earlier, I think the ceiling is a little bit lower, but it's a more well-rounded team with more options offensively, with a potential higher defensive ceiling, depending on how the pieces mesh and how training camp goes and what they're able to instill on the defensive side of the basketball. Offense is never going to be an issue with a James Harden-led team. This team will absolutely, with Steven Silas at the helm and with James Harden, they will be a top three offense, period. That's happening. Now, whether they're one, two, or three, you can argue that, because Dallas is still going to be really good. The Bucks are going to be good. Like, every team, there's still going to be some competition for those top three spots. But they're going to be a top three defensive team. Or, I apologize, offensive team. The question is, where does their defense fall? If you can get them away from middle of the pack defense, that 14 to 16 range, which is what they were last year, if you can get them away from that area and get them up towards the top 10 level, it doesn't have to be top 5 defense, but if you get them in that 5 to 10 range somewhere, even if it's on the lower end, 8, 9, or 10, along with a top 3 offense, that is a team that is a championship caliber team. That is a team that's going to be able to make some noise in the playoffs, and that is a team that's going to be so amazing to follow throughout this 72-game NBA season. And look, it may just be one wild ride. It may be the final rodeo, the last ride, the last stand of James Harden here in Houston, or it could be the beginning of something really special. A new head coach in Stephen Silas, you know, a completely, totally revamped roster surrounding James Harden, you know, veteran presences in Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, you know, who have been here, who have been around for the ride with James Harden, but new faces as well in John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins and Christian Wood, Sterling Brown, all the young guys being brought in. The impressive coaching staff surrounding Stephen Silas. Look, there's a lot to be excited for about this Rockets season. And it's been a tumultuous offseason, to say the least. There's been a lot of drama surrounding this team. But hey, it wouldn't be Houston Rockets basketball without a little bit of drama in the offseason, right? But look, I'm excited for the season. And I hope I'm doing a good enough job of hyping you up for the season. But for today's episode, I think that's going to be where we cut things off. So as always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.